Welcome aboard this week's podcast of Dudes Dish Disney. Get ready for amazing attractions across America. Beer halls and bar rooms, banquets and beverages, a collection of characters and colleagues.
No cupcakes.
It's Dudes Dishing Disney. This episode of Dudes Dish Disney is sponsored by Magic Vacations. Magic Vacations. Discover the magic of travel. And now your host, the dudes of Dudes Dish Disney.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Dudes Dish Disney. Joining us today is our producer and resident tech dude, Jonathan.
What's going on, guys?
Also joining us is our co-host, Ryan. He is the number one Disney dude.
What's up, dudes?
And I'm Congo Carl, former Jungle Cruise skipper. You know the rest. What's up, dudes?
What's going on?
What's up, man? A little under the weather. You can hear a little froggy in my voice. So just know I'm doing it for the people. I'm fighting it through. I'm doing it for you, our listeners.
I told you, Ryan, put some bourbon in your cough syrup. You'll be fine.
I did. And now I'm worse. I don't know what happened.
Well, it's, you know, Ryan always had the bass voice of the three of us on the show, so it's just more amplified today. He's the big dude.
It's my inner Barry White coming out today, folks.
So we're going to get some sensual feelings is what you're telling me?
Only if you play the red cards, my friend.
Whoa, all right.
Oh, 100 D-cubed. No, just kidding. Don't.
So what Ryan says is, you know, if we're lucky, we're going to see fireworks, which is very appropriate for tonight's show.
You got to work for it.
We thought we would give you a review on the Disney's dessert party firework package. We happened to attend one of those recently. So we thought we'd tell you a little about it. And, share the experience, share our opinions, give it a bit of a review, and see what you think about the possibility of having us book a fireworks spectacular party for you. It's actually called the dessert parties, right? And there's several of them. There's several of them at the Magic Kingdom, and there's one that we actually overtook as a private event at Epcot. And I don't know if you want to go into kind of a laundry list of what's included, John, and talk a little bit about, you know, what it's all about.
Yeah, I mean, the beauty is pretty much they're all pretty much the same thing included here. They're, again, being a dessert party, you're going to get a wide variety of different sweet treats all across the board. There is some champagne and other adult beverages included as well. You've got your own private area where you're going to be able
Hold the time out. There was champagne at our dessert party?
Not ours.
Oh, okay.
They knew better.
I thought you guys were holding out on me. Continue, John.
But yeah, they've got all those desserts, all that. And then there's a private area to have those desserts that's kind of away from the other crowds and all that. So you kind of get your nice little peaceful area. And as well, you have your own viewing area as well of the fireworks, which is kind of nice. You have a guaranteed spot that's going to get you a decent view of whichever fireworks show that you you book. Again, for us, we had one at Epcot that had a nice spot over by the UK Pavilion, over by Crown and Rose, which is a really nice spot.
That's Rose and Crown, you drunk.
It's only Crown and Rose after you've had a few Crown and Roses.
Well, I mean, by that point, we did have a few. So, I mean, give me a little credit there.
We did indeed, sir.
That's why I couldn't remember if there was champagne there or not. So.
You started the day with champagne. You didn't get to end it with champagne.
I did not get to end it with champagne. That's correct. Yeah, so it's up the that landing over at the United Kingdom is a great venue. I've seen other dessert parties happen on the other side of the canal to France in Epcot, and I actually thought that's where we were going because that's the only place I saw them. So they must have the ability to do multiple parties if they have lots of attendees, right? They must be able to stage those differently. But we were definitely at the United Kingdom, and it is a process, right? It is an interesting process if we set the stage for it. Well, let's set the stage a little bit. We started off at 9 o'clock in the morning with drinking around the world. And the fireworks were what, 12 hours later?
Yeah.
So we were in pretty good shape by the time we got to the 7, 8 o'clock party. Is it an hour or 2 hours before the fireworks?
For us, it was about an hour. I think we showed up, what, about a half hour before? Because we had our dinner running a little long. If I remember correctly, I mean, it was kind of hard by that point in the night to completely remember everything.
We had a dinner at Le Cellier that ran a little over. Took us a little extra time to get there. We had a straggler in our group who didn't make it to dinner on time, and we had to push our reservation back a little bit. Not that we'll call Brad out by name on the show, because that wouldn't be nice of us to do to poor Brad, because we love Brad, the history dude. We would never call him out on the show like that. But still, we were a little late. So yeah, an hour before is when we were supposed to be there. We got there about 30 minutes before. And what was unique for us too, guys, is that we did not get to go to the traditional spot where this is usually held. So this is, for those who, you know, don't know, it's usually in that landing, right? That's right beside the Crown and Rose. And when you get over to that spot, they've got tables set up for dessert, and then you view the fireworks. Well, there was rain in the forecast all day for us. So they actually moved us into like the ImageWorks building, you know, just outside as you're walking, leaving Figment, right? There's the DVC area that's up there that you can go and hang out in if you're so privileged to be able to do so. And they actually had that as a backup for us. So that's where our desserts were, which actually worked out okay for us because we were kind of halfway in between both of them anywhere where we were coming from.
Yeah, and right. So we're out of dinner late at Le Cellier because, you know, Brad had to go see, was it Richard Marx that he went and saw in concert at the band show there at the American Gardens?
Who can blame the guy, really? I mean, honestly, I mean, I can blame him. Richard Marx sucks, but I'm going to try and give Brad some credit. Like, that's Brad, for those who have listened to the show, you've heard Brad a few times. You do need to know Brad is a music buff. He loves music of all genres. So, you know, for a big name like Richard Marx, with Brad in Epcot, I totally understand why he would want to go spend some time. So that's why I'm just teasing him here.
Okay. Yeah. Big name like Richard Marx. Okay. Got it.
He was a big name 35 years ago, Carl. You should know that. You were like in your 30s at that point.
I have no idea. So anyways, yeah. So we hustle on over there. One of the things that they talk about in all these dessert parties is they have the folks will escort you from, you know, from wherever the party is down to your viewing area, right? If the rain was not in the forecast, would they actually be setting up and serving us dessert in that area?
Yeah, if rain was not in the forecast, yeah. Dessert is happening, you know, behind you,
right? Okay.
While the party's going on, yeah.
And I know they have two different versions they offer at the Magic Kingdom, the pre-fireworks party and the post-fireworks dessert party, which it's interesting to kind of hang out and relax and have your champagne and desserts while the crowds are disseminating, right? But we had it as a pre, and we were located, as you mentioned, in the double secret probation room in the Journey into Imagination. They did not let Jonathan in through the secret passageway to get to Figment from up there.
I really begged.
We tried. And there in front of us was a spread of a multitude of different kinds of desserts. I did not eat one dessert, so I cannot comment on the desserts, the quality of them, or what they taste like. Maybe you gentlemen can shed some light on that part of the evening.
I got some looks because I grabbed some coffee because I was trying to stay awake for a little while longer. But I grabbed some coffee and I did have a couple of the desserts. There was a couple of like s'mores type desserts that were there that were pretty tasty. I'm not a huge sweets guy to begin with. So, you know, I was drunk, right? And I had been whatever all day long walking around. So I definitely grabbed a couple of handfuls of whatever I could. I couldn't tell you, there wasn't, it was your typical Disney confectionery desserts, right? They're themed Mickey desserts and they're, you know, all that kind of good stuff. They were good. They were good. I didn't have any issues. I didn't feel like they were underdone, overdone, you know, too sweet, anything like that. But there had to be at least 12 different types of dessert on that table. And that's assuming there weren't even more before we got there, right? That's just when we got there. So plenty to choose from of all types, you know, more tart, more sweet, more chocolate, you know, for really any type of dessert lover, you had a lot.
Yeah. John, did you get to sample any of the scrumptilicious desserts?
Scrumptilicious.
Wow. Good use of verbiage there.
Sugar in your scrumptilicious will go down.
Anyways, I did not have any of the dessert. By that point in the night after our dinner at Le Cellier, I was pretty much done. I knew I kind of had to stop. I stopped drinking and I knew I had to stop eating as well, or I was not going to end the night really well at all. So I was like, okay, we're in a good place, but all the desserts did look good. There was nothing there enough for me to say, yeah, let's risk it and let's end up like a fool and in the lagoon. So
this is why we have no cupcakes on our show, because we all get hammered and then we go to dessert parties and we're like, let's review it for our listeners. And we're like, we don't remember anything.
Yeah, maybe some of the MVPs can comment on this week's post about what was there, or they have pictures or something, because we don't have a freaking clue. Ryan does. Ryan, to be fair, Ryan tasted it and looked at it. I kind of looked down at them and said, oh, yeah, there, that looks like dessert. The reason I didn't participate on that is we got there, and it's quite a process getting in with the wristbands there and getting, and they have people that escort you up and in. And the moment I got there, I said, okay, it's a half hour till the show. I said, I better, you know, use the facilities. So in order to use the facilities, I had a personal escort, a gentleman who'd been working there for 30 years, came, had the flashlights and the lights, and they took me out of the building around the pavilion, the Journey into Imagination pavilion, and to the restroom. So I had to go out of the party, downstairs, around and everything. And by the time I got there and got back, it was ready to go to the fireworks. So there wasn't, if I wanted to grab something and throw it in my pocket, I couldn't. But I've got to tell you, that guy was very professional. We were talking Disney the whole way. He pointed out places that I could have tripped and fallen with his flashlight. Very nice, very professional, you know, walked me down and walked me back up. Very, very nice fellow. Asked him a little bit about, you know, his career and what he was working there and what this experience was like. I don't recall anything he said to me, but he was very nice.
Comment of the evening, though, goes to Susie, who said, while you're looking for where to find us, find the cast members with the short, stocky lightsabers. Just, you know, that fits in perfectly with my world, because I knew exactly what to look for at that point. They were the same. They were holding that, what they were holding was kind of like the things that they use when you land an airplane and they're directing you and what spot to pull into. But they were neon green, so you couldn't miss them. So Carl, I'm glad he lit the way for you with one of those, especially in your heightened condition, so that you didn't have any problems getting to the little boys' room.
No. And then, and so they escorted us out at that point, right? And they gave us a very firm instructions that we were going to be going partially backstage and no cameras, no films. And they herded, what was there, 40, 50, 60 of us out. And we made our ways out of this area backstage through the pavilion that is generally set up for the Food and Wine Festival, which is actually behind the UK building before you get to France. And so, you know, private parties are set up there. So we went backstage from Journey into Imagination to where this pavilion is and out there. And it was interesting because I do recall we were seeing pallets and pallets of, I'm going to guess they're empty.
I'm going to guess they're empty too.
That would be a pretty good assumption, I think.
Because they weren't refrigerated, but just unbelievable amounts of kegs.
Yeah.
In all pony shapes kegs. And sizes, right?
Pony kegs for the most part, which I was a little surprised by, but I guess if you're serving for, you know, these festivals, right? Like, and you're serving out of a tap at these festivals, a pony keg makes sense because those booths aren't very large. So you don't have a whole lot of space to have three full-size kegs with three different options. You're going to have three pony kegs. Right. But I got to be honest with you, you know, I didn't think about it at the time, but as I think about it now, as we are walking towards the World Showplace Events Pavilion there, right? As we're walking through that and we're seeing these pony kegs, all I could think about was, wow, look how many there were. But afterwards, I was like, I don't think I've ever been at one of those booths where they've run out, right? Which means somebody's doing a really good job moving those pony kegs in and out seamlessly, because I can honestly say I've never been. Now, next time I go, it's probably going to happen, right? But I've never been at one of those booths when they've run out of beer.
It's not only the booths, but I was thinking about it. But, you know, things like the Canadian little popcorn cart, right? And some of the, like, the small Germany pavilion across the way. It's very small there. And there's got to be some sort of minimal refrigeration. And like you say, there might be two or three flavors. They probably have enough room for six pony kegs. And I've never seen anybody in the day replace those kegs.
No.
It's just amazing.
I've never seen them walk out with them, right? Yeah. You've never seen somebody. So, you know, and this isn't Magic Kingdom where we've got the utilidors where people can just pop up from underneath the ground, right? Like, it doesn't work that way in Epcot. Yeah. So really impressive logistically how they find a way to do that without it being super obvious to the average everyday park goer.
Yeah, very, very impressed, very amazing. And it's interesting how that was the most exciting thing for us behind the scenes, being the dudes drinking at Disney. So we did make it. Now, I made friends with one of the young ladies who was escorting us down to the viewing area. And I said, in that area near the United Kingdom, is it close to the fish and chip stand or the Rose and Crown? You know, can I get up and bring a beer? She goes, yeah, once you're in the park, you can do whatever you want. You know, we don't have alcohol there for you. So she said, just look for someone with one of these. And she waved that short lightsaber and show me your wristband and we'll let you in. So as we made our way through the grounds, I parted away, and luckily our good friend Aaron, the Tiddly Tender, was working at the Rose and Crown that night. So I went in there and got a nice Guinness to go on wheels. Somebody else from the MVPs went with me and got one too. If you're listening to the show and whoever that is, can you remind me who I bought that beer for?
You know, I'm impressed with your memory to this point. So the fact that you forgot who this person was surprises me. But if I had to take a guess, it may have been Paul.
I don't think it was Paul, because Paul was.
I want to say it was John Cook, but he wasn't drinking with us. So that day. So
could it have been Barry or Matt?
I'm thinking it may have been one of them, because I know when we were walking over, we were chatting with them. And the moment Carl asked me if I wanted another drink, somebody's ears popped and literally hovered to us. And I'm thinking it might have been Matt or Barry, to be honest.
Barry likes a good beverage as well. Yeah. So definitely.
I hope it was. I hope it was him. I hope I didn't buy it for a total stranger. So
you would, though. You would, let's be honest. You'd buy a drink for a total stranger.
Well, I remember going in and Aaron saying to one of the customers, hey, you got to talk to this guy drinking around the world. He's got the story. And then the next thing I know, there was a few people taking pictures with me, you know, as I was ordering the beer, and hey, this is the guy. And so anyways, we got out of there, and I think myself and that other person were the only two people who had a beverage with us for the fireworks show.
All right, so I'm going to sidebar this for a second here, because we're talking fireworks and desserts. We don't remember half of it anyway, but I do remember something that happened, and that was right before we had dinner at Le Cellier. Carl introduced himself to a group of Germans who were German, native Germans, who were speaking German. And Carl introduced himself in German to this group to introduce himself as the inventor of drinking around the world, and then somehow convinced this entire family of like eight people, kids, multi-generational kids, parents, grandparents, to all take a picture with him because they were wearing drinking around the world shirts. I swear he was acting as though he was a cast member himself that day, right? VIP. And it was great. It was great. It was like a celebrity, local celebrity sighting. It was fantastic.
That's right. They were very nice people.
They were very confused by why you were approaching them.
Well, it was probably because my German wasn't that good, probably.
Yeah, that's possible. But your German's better than my German, Carl. So you got that going for you.
So anyways, we make our ways to the fireworks show, right? And it was a nice last event, formal last event to the nearly week that we had spent on retreat. And I think it was a nice culmination of the day. The weather cooperated with us, which is always a concern on these fireworks events, right? They do have contingencies, which they provided for us, and they do have alternate plans, so they're very accommodating. But you don't want to pay for a fireworks dessert party and just have it be a dessert party, right? The climactic end is that great viewing. And we saw the viewing, and it was the first time I had seen that particular show at Epcot.
Yeah, Luminous is relatively new. So it was the first time I'd seen it live as well. I had heard some things going into it. So ever since they repainted Cinderella's Castle and the outrage that was all over social media about the castle, and then I saw it in person, was like, it's really nice, actually. You know, I've decided I don't care what people say until I see it myself, right? And this is another one of those things with this show. As I'd seen YouTube recordings, I'd heard people talk about it, I was pretty pleased with it, to be honest with you, for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, I went in completely blind. Usually, again, I've seen the POVs, I've seen videos, all that, of everything that I've ever ridden, watched, all that. I was impressed. It was better than its predecessor. Let's be 100% honest with you. I mean, its predecessor had some decent moments, but hey, this one actually got me, and this one actually reminded me of some of the old school stuff at Epcot, which made me very happy. So I really can't complain.
I would agree with that too. I had not seen a preview of it. I knew it was changing. I knew we were going to it. Great show. I thought it was great. But I did like, you know, anytime they use the perimeter and outline lights to light up all the World Showcase pavilions, to me, that's what it's all about, right? So I always get emotional when I see that. They did a good job of that. They had the traditional rockets leaping in from the perimeter of the World Showcase Lagoon, crisscrossing into the center. Good music, some, you know, original music as well as some traditional music. So I thought that was a great blend. And a lot more fireworks than the last couple of shows, which is, I think, what people want, right? So it is a good show. I would definitely see it again. I would see it from a different location. I think that location we saw it from is very good. I think it's been years and years and years since I've seen fireworks from the United Kingdom. You know, before it was advertised on the early days of Epcot, people figured out, hey, if I time my restaurant and ask for an outdoor seat at the United Kingdom at the right time, I'm going to get a great spot to see the fireworks. And that was kind of an inside secret. So they started having the formal firework dining packages, and then later these dessert parties, which they commandeered these locations with the great view. I think it's great. Also, the one across the bridge from France would be equal to it. I know some of the MVPs went out a couple of days early and took a boat tour out onto the lagoon that and took the cocktail boat tour out to see the fireworks on the pontoon boats. That's very popular there. It's the same view and angle that we had there. So it's one of the reasons I didn't join that pontoon boat, because I wasn't going to pay for something that I knew we were already going to see. Had this viewing been, you know, somewhere over towards Mexico or Germany or a different angle, I might have considered also trying the pontoon boat fireworks show in Epcot. But I think the location and the angle there is great. It's unobstructed. There's no trees. And it was a great show to see at water level.
There is one thing that bothered me about it, because I agree in terms of the show itself, just on the water and what you're seeing, everything you said 100% true. The only problem I have is zero view of Spaceship Earth, right? So for me, I would still much rather go to Spice Road Table, you know, that dining show, or if I'm not doing a show, just watching them normally, either go to the American Adventure or go to the Japan Pavilion, because Spaceship Earth and the way they light it up in the background really does add a different element to the show as well. So, you know, in terms of what we saw, no complaints at all. I thought it was really good. And you're right, unobstructed views, private area, loved that experience. But purely from a show standpoint, I'd rather watch it from the Japan Pavilion.
Yeah, Japan is my second most frequent viewing spot. It was back in the early days, it was a very casual bar up there. They just changed the restaurant once again, but you could actually casually walk up, get a drink, and stand on the outside deck and see the fireworks display from Japan and see Spaceship Earth, you know, framed with the pagoda that's in the lagoon. My number one viewing spot has been from Germany, because most of the time I'm there, I had a late night dinner at the beer garden and would walk out just as the fireworks were starting, right? So that's my most frequent angle. So it was nice to get over on this side and see it there. Both of those two locations, Ryan, to your point, you get a nice view of Spaceship Earth. And that is the only thing that's missing. But have we missed anything? Does that kind of sum up the fireworks dessert party at Epcot?
Yeah, I mean, I think that pretty much covers it, right? Basically, long story short, if you want to do the dessert party, get really wasted and don't remember anything. That's what we're telling you here on this show.
We think it's worth it.
We think it's worth it. Totally worth it. Pay all that money to do the private show, spend an extra $300 getting drunk, then go see the show, and maybe you'll have a good time, maybe you won't. Only the dudes can give you such valuable tips.
Well, thank you guys. I really appreciate you filling in all the gaps that I forgot that night. I guess I had a pretty good time.
I guess you did too. I guess I did. I know. Well, let me rephrase. I know I did, but John was minutes away from having a bad evening. So I guess we can assume John did as well.
Oh, I had a great evening. I mean, I knew to stop myself because, I was not going to have a bad evening. Let's just say that.
Until next time, when we review the firework party at the Magic Kingdom on acid. Later, dudes.
Later, dudes.
Later, dudes.
Why is there a pink elephant?
Thanks for joining us for this week's episode of Dudes Dish Disney. Please check us out on social media. On Facebook at Dudes Dish Disney. On Instagram at Dudes Dish Disney. On Twitter at Disney_Dish. Please visit our sponsor, Magic Vacations, at magicvacations.net. More than just a travel agency, Magic Vacations has over 60 Magic Vacation planners committed to bringing you white glove concierge service. Using a Magic Vacation planner allows you to spend more time making memories and less time worrying about the details. For all of your Disney, Universal, cruise, and global travel, go to magicvacations.net. Magic Vacations. Discover the magic of travel.